You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, September 19th, 3 p.m. Prairie Creek Redwood State Park, Elk Prairie Trail. As I look down on Elk Prairie through a window framed by the massive trunks of giant redwoods, the emotional disparity between the mysterious uncertainty of sheltered darkness and the open reassurance of exposed light is heightened by the stark contrast. Brilliant late afternoon sunshine bathes the straw-colored grass and fern prairie in a radiant golden light. The wide expanse of grassland is surrounded on all sides by shadowy columns of ancient redwood forest. The atmosphere above the grassy plain is crowded with an enormous cloud of hunting dragonflies, far more than I have ever seen in one place. They are busily chasing a multitude of invisible insect prey. Elk Prairie has been managed for centuries by the Yurok people. Periodic burning ensured that pasture land would be available so that there would be a place where grazing elk could be easily hunted in the midst of the vast redwood forests. By the 1920s, the once common Roosevelt elk had been completely exterminated from California, except for a herd of a dozen or so animals that managed to survive here. With strict protection, the population of these enormous grazing mammals has rebounded. They are now easily seen throughout Redwood National Park and are a popular attraction. During the 1930s, Prairie Creek Redwood State Park was home to the Civilian Conservation Corps, Company 1903. Nearly 200 young men were housed in a temporary camp built here on Elk Prairie. These lucky few were escaping the ravages of the Great Depression. The most impressive achievement of the Corps was the construction of the Concession and Recreation Building, which is now the Prairie Creek Redwood State Park Visitor Center. With a few exceptions, the building was constructed entirely of natural materials salvaged from this area. The building is an excellent example of the rustic, back-to-nature aesthetic that dominated National Park Service construction in the 1920s and 30s. The Elk Prairie Trail passes over grass-covered ruins of the barracks and heads directly into old-growth coast redwood forest. With some very obvious exceptions, colors are muted into gray, brown, and green by the deep shade as one enters the cathedral-like woodland. The circular caps of mahogany-colored honey mushrooms cascade down through a crack in an oversized decaying log. The radiant red and blue fruits of huckleberries tempt birds to eat them and to inadvertently transport their seeds to epiphytic perches on the tallest treetops of any forest in the world. On the thick, fibrous bark of a redwood, incandescent lemon-yellow banana slugs intertwine in a slow-motion mating dance. These creatures are hermaphroditic. Each is both male and female, making this sensuous gene exchange doubly profound and exotic. Today, more than 95% of the original old-growth redwoods have been logged. The remaining 5% stands in isolated groves from the Central California coast to a few miles north of the Oregon border. Redwood forests take 600 years to mature. Coast redwoods can live for 2,000 years. 25 million years ago, redwood forests stretched all across the northern hemisphere. This is literally their last stand. The heavy wingbeats of 36 band-tailed pigeons flap noisily as they try to support their weight on flimsy buckthorn branches while they strip away the ripe black berries. In the past, these game birds were nearly hunted to extinction. Legal protections appear to have saved them for now. As the trail swerves to avoid the house-sized trunk of a redwood, I find myself face-to-face with a half-ton, six-point bull elk. His left eye is clouded and useless. It is rutting season. Male elk are either fighting to maintain a harem, challenging to acquire one, or waiting to die. This old bull lifts his head, stares at me briefly, snorts, and bounds into the shadowy refuge of the forest. Thank you. This program attempts to establish a visceral connection between the listener and the natural world through the use of sound and spoken images. It is a simple idea that takes full advantage of radio's ability to evoke a broad range of experiences through subtle cues and imagery. KLCC has nurtured this program with guidance, resources, and airtime, allowing it to gain and develop an audience. The quality and diversity of locally produced programming on KLCC is unrivaled among small market radio stations in the U.S. As a listener, I have been enriched by the talents of numerous homegrown producers over the years. This is in addition to the high-quality programming available through National Public Radio. KLCC feels and sounds like a reflection of our community. It deserves your support. Please call now.